We're in Job. Chapter 3 is interesting, to say the least. And unfortunately, it's going to be a difficult one to just really... I almost need to read the whole chapter just for the simple fact that it's all Job talking. And by doing that, I can also, you know, we'll read through the whole thing. I may or may not get through the whole chapter tonight, but probably we'll get close anyway. But it starts in verse 1. It says, after this, Job began to speak and curse the day he was born. Now, I want to stop there and just make mention. They've been, you know, his wife told him to curse God and die. Job isn't cursing God. He's cursing himself at this point. And he says, it says he cursed the day he was born. And we'll go over that a little bit more in detail when I get done reading it. But think about that for a moment, that he in essence is saying he would rather not have been born than to deal with a pain like he's dealing with. So that's kind of the mindset that he's in right here as we start this chapter. But starting back in verse 2, it says, he said, may the day I was born perish, and the night that said a boy is conceived. If only the day had turned into darkness. May God above not care about it, or light shine on it. May darkness and gloom reclaim it, and a cloud settle over it. May what darkens the day terrify it. If only darkness had taken that night away. May it not appear among the days of the year, or be listed in the calendar. Yes, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout be heard in it. Let those who curse days condemn it. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. May its morning stars grow dark. May it wait for daylight but have none. May it not see the breaking of dawn. For that night did not shut the doors of my mother's womb and hide sorrow from my eyes. Why was I not stillborn? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Why were there breasts for me to nurse? Now I would certainly be lying down in peace. I would be asleep. Then I would be at rest with the kings and the counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruined cities for themselves, or with princes who had gold who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden like a miscarried child, like infants who never see daylight? There the wicked cease to make trouble, and there the weary find rest. The captives are completely at rest. They do not hear a taskmaster's voice. Both small and great are there, and the slave is set free from his master. Why is light given to one burdened with grief, and life to those whose existence is bitter? Who wait for death, but it does not come, and search for it more for hidden treasure, who are filled with much joy and are glad when they reach the grave? Why is life given to a man whose path is hidden, whom God has hedged in? I sigh when food is put before me, and my groans pour out like water, for the thing I feared has overtaken me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I cannot relax or be calm. I have no rest, for turmoil has come. Now, just on the surface, and even if we're low in number tonight, you know, feel free to talk and speak out, because the reality, just on the surface here, we've all been through this. A moment of grief that's so much that we would have rather never faced life at all than to have to deal with it. And to each person, it might be a different time. You know, it could be the loss of a family member. It could be the loss of a child. I mean, there's some who've gone through that. It could be so many different things. But, you know, here's the thing. When in the book of James, chapter 5, he talks about the patience of Job. And we have to talk about not only his patience, but his impatience. Because this is not exactly a man who's patient at this point. This is a man who's grieving, who's broken. And after 7 days of silence with his friends, the first thing he chooses to say, it would be better if I hadn't been born. He's in a deep depression. He's in a struggling state. And he was patient in chapter 1 and chapter 2, where he did not sin in the times that that Satan really, you know, and it took 7 days for him to talk. That's patience. But in this chapter, we find him very impatient with God. Or maybe not with God, but with life. Because you see a man who is cursing the day he was born. He's passionately complaining that he was born. He's really complaining that he didn't die as soon as he was born. He went from everything to, you know, it would better that I didn't, that I wasn't born, or that I was stillborn. And he goes through some of the hardest things here, and then he complains that his life is now continued when he's in misery. He, you know, this is a man who's on the edge of suicide, almost, is what it sounds like, that he would be better if he was dead type mentality. In this, you have to understand something. There's not anything that says in all of this Job did not sin. In fact, Job most likely sinned in this statement he made, for the simple reason that he cursed the day he was born, which was a day that God blessed him. It's written here not for us to imitate, but for admonition that he who, you know, he who thinks he stands, the things that he's dealing with, you know, you got to take note of it to make sure we don't fall into the same trap. And that's a hard thing for us to deal with here, because you're talking about a man who is good. Even in the words of God, when he tells him, he says, Job is a good man. Have you considered Job? No one else is like him. He's a man of perfect integrity. Job's lost everything and has everyone turning against him, and Job is now broken. He doesn't curse God. He curses himself. There's something to note about that, and that's why I made a point to speak about it. He cursed the day he was born. He doesn't curse God necessarily, but his heart was burning within him. I mean, his brokenness, his struggle, his turmoil, this is the heart of a man who has just lost everything, and he's dealing emotionally with it. We've all been there. And this is why when I talk about this a number of times, you know, I'm like, it's okay to question God sometimes. It's okay for us to cry out to God and question him. The thing about it is Job didn't question God. He cursed the day he was born. He in essence mostly said, I wish I'd never been born. You know, as we kind of go through this, we'll see some things, but he cursed his day, or the day of his birth, wishing that he had never been born. He could not think or speak of his own birth without regret and vexation, like without regret and remorse. And men usually observe their birthday. I mean, everyone celebrates their birthday, right? Well, he's cursing that day. There's something to that in this, because normally we look back on that as another day that we've made it through another year. We celebrate that day. And here he is looking at it as the unhappiest day of the year. Now, what we're not told is what day these children died. Was it, I mean, for him to curse the day he was born, is it possible that this was Job's birthday, that all these things took place? Yes. Is it also possible that it wasn't? Yes. There's not really anything that tells us. It could be that this conversation is happening on the day of his birth. You know, his friends are there and they see him. They're talking with him and he's celebrating a day of birth, but he has nothing to celebrate with. The unhappiest day of his life is where this struggle is now coming from. And it was bad enough because the extremity, like the extreme nature of this in him and of his trouble and this, he was not composed. He had no composure when it came to this conversation because, you know, he's broken. He's sitting in ashes. He's mourning the death of 10 children, the loss of everything that he owns. His wife is turning against him because she just wants him to curse God and die and be done with it. But, you know, even if we get farther into it, Jeremiah even had a moment like this. In Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah is quoted as saying, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me." Jeremiah 20, he says, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born." So, I mean, Jeremiah had struggles that way too. I mean, this is not something new. And I tried to look back over it this week and think about it myself. I've thought, you know, I think I've thought that before. It would just be better if I was never born. Then I wouldn't have had to worry about all this and nobody else would have had to worry about me. I mean, those type statements come out. And I think that might be sort of an insight to where Job is at. But as we look through it, there's no really condition of life a man can be in, you know, we can't work out our own salvation. We can't work out our own circumstances. He's in this condition and he's really, it's to curse the day of our birth would be almost to curse God in a way, because God is the one who gave us life. He created us in the mother's womb. We were born into this world because of the blessings of God. So to despise the dignity of our own being and to indulge this passion or this desire to kind of be ashamed of the life that we have because of something like this. This is, you know, there's nothing that would be, there's no way we can work out our own salvation and honor God in a statement like that, because we'd rather be dead than to deal with the life that we're, with the deck of cards we're handed at that point. And so for us to struggle through that statement, struggle through that conversation, there's no reason for us to make a wish like that. In fact, you know, there is the statement that it would have, that for Judas it would have been better that he'd never been born. There are statements like that in the scripture because of the decision that they've made to end it all after a bad decision. Unfortunately, this chapter brings up suicide in a hard way. And whether you've dealt with suicide on a personal level by attempting it or dealing with it yourself, or you've dealt with somebody that's a loved one that's gone through it and has completed it or attempted it, or a good friend. And I mean, we all probably have been affected by it at some point in our lives in some way. Whether it be someone actually committing suicide, friends of someone that we've had to try to comfort, we have to own this situation and own this opportunity for us to recognize that these attempts, I mean, it was a mistake for Job to rue the day he was born, so to speak. For him to curse the day he was born was really in poor character and poor judgment. And we're talking about a man of integrity. And if a man like Job can go through that, then imagine where we can all find ourselves. It would, I'm really struggling to find exact examples that could really give us clarity on what it is. But we've got to look at this because to honor the spiritual life above the natural life on earth, the thing that we've got to recognize is that, you know, we might have cursed the day of our first birth, but we won't curse the day of our new birth. The day we're born again, the day that we recognize that Christ is our Savior and we find ourselves in that manner. And those are gifts of grace, gifts of mercy. The reality in this that brings me to a conversation here is what I recognize in it is that you're dealing with a man who, though he may have had everything going for him, though everything might have been good, and then he loses it all, he has found himself mourning the natural life. That's the ultimate thing in this. It's not necessarily the spiritual life that Job is dealing with here. He's dealing with his natural life. In other words, he's saying, why couldn't I have died when I was born? Why couldn't I have died when this circumstance happened or that circumstance happened? Because if I had died, my spirit would have moved on and I would have already been where I wanted to be. So Job's dealing with this natural, almost a materialistic point of view during this conversation. That's the thing that we've got to come to terms with and understanding, because he's dealing with this natural burden, but it's not necessarily about his spiritual being. And it was not as bad as Satan maybe promised himself or the Lord that it would be. Like, he's not cursing God. He's cursing the day he was born, the day that he came into this natural life as a man on this earth. He was weary of his life and would gladly have parted with that, but he was not weary of God. He never once in here said anything that God did this to him. So, in essence, he's cursing something that God blessed him with, which is the natural life that he has on earth, but he's not cursing his spiritual life. So, there's still leeway in this to say, well, he's cursing the sinful man. And so, I mean, we look at that and we see that and we recognize that. Is he a hypocrite who secretly hates God? I don't think so. If he were provoked, would he have shown something else? I really don't know. But he condemned himself for what took place. He did not condemn God, and God did not condemn him. Because when we do get to where God speaks, he simply calls Job on the carpet. He doesn't necessarily condemn him. In fact, at the end of the book, we do see, and I'm going to tell the end, spoiler alert if you're waiting to get there, he doubles the portion which he blesses him with again. He gets twice as what he had to begin with. So Job is thoroughly blessed by God for dealing with this trial, for going through it, for finding his opportunity through it. So the reason of Job expresses himself this way, and what we need to understand in this, you know, the expressions that he uses in this are really poetic. It's a man who's mourning, who's lamenting this situation. And the reality is that we don't really need to look at it. And, you know, I think it might just simply be Job getting it out. Because we've got to think about Job and his spiritual life here just as much as we do his physical life. His physical life is in pain. He's dealing with all of this loss and all this struggle. But what I recognize in it is Job, just like us, we all feel the need to talk to someone, you know, to get it out. Well, Job's friends are there. They've sat with him for 7 days. And this is the first thing he says. He's crying out in pain. And he's expressing himself to his friends. And as we get into those conversations, we're going to see them almost support him in some ways of what he says. And that's the difficult part of where we're going, because what Job has done is he's crying out in pain. He's crying out from struggle. And, you know, it's not something that I think he's simply saying, let it perish. Verse 3, he says that. It says, may darkness and gloom reclaim it, and the cloud settle over it. May what darkens the day terrify it. if only darkness had taken that night away. In other words, if it had just stayed dark, if my light was never born into this world, then you get to verse 6 and it says, may the day I was born perish and the night that said a boy is conceived. That's verse 3. I skipped down to 5 and 6 just a second ago, but verse 6, if only darkness had taken that night away, may it not appear among the days of the year or be listed in the calendar. In other words, remove my birthday because it's nothing but pain and torment to me. And he's saying these things and he's in essence saying, this day should not exist. This day is not worth remembering. Now, if we go to Job chapter 29, this is something interesting that, we have to kind of skip around a little bit in this to find some things. But verse 25, it says, I directed their course and presided as chief. I lived as a king among his troops, like one who comforts those who mourn. Job was a king. I mean, he was a king of this domain. Everyone would have known him. In other words, Job would have been one of the most well-known. So when it comes to royalty, if Job is that well-known, and if he is a king, then, because the wording there almost kind of leads you to believe that Job is a king. The wording there, the day a king is born is a national holiday. The king, in a kingdom, the king's birthday is a holiday. It is a day that is celebrated by the entire kingdom. And he's saying, if that day would just not exist, if we could remove that from the calendar, kind of thing. So that's kind of what you're talking about here. But that's something that we really look at. But he even gets to the point where he says, let not God regard it from above, or may God not care about it or light shine on it. I mean, he's really in a dark place and he's simply saying, look, if this day just didn't exist and God would just not shine on it, that would be, let the day remain in darkness. Which leads me to believe that Job is saying this on his birthday. This is the day that's supposed to be happy. That's my personal belief. I've not really read it anywhere else, but it sure seems that way. Because why would he be so broken down? Because the thing is that what we all look forward to on our birthdays is what? Anybody want to venture a guess?
That you lived a year.
Well, you lived another year, but what do you look forward to on your actual birthday when it comes to celebration?
Look for another.
Well, but who are you spending it with? Your family. You look forward to spending it with, and I can relate to where Job is because my dad used to take me out to eat on my birthday every year. The year my dad died, luckily I had some friends who called me and said, hey, we want to take you to lunch. Like, it might seem small, but when that first year comes through and that next year comes through and you're thinking about that day and somebody's not there that's been there, that's a hard thing. Well, we already know that his kids like to party, so what would they have done for Job on his birthday? They would have celebrated, I think. And then he would have burnt offerings in each of their names to just in case they sinned, right? But the curses that are here, he's really broken and he goes through this entire thing and he's in essence saying, let those who curse the days condemn it. Those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. The best explanation of what Leviathan would be a whale or a crocodile or a dinosaur, a sea beast. Later in Job, we'll see Behemoth. Leviathan and Behemoth are both the descriptions that you get of both of them later in Job. Lead you down the road of a dinosaur of some sort. which then we can tie all that into creation and all of that as well. But what we're really looking at here with this conversation is simply this. Job is dealing with this situation, and he's simply saying in verse 8, he's saying, let those who curse taste condemn it, and those who are ready to rouse Leviathan, may its morning stars grow dark, may it wait for daylight but have none. He's practically saying, you know, what kind of mindset do you have to be to rouse a crocodile? To try to enrage one, to come after you almost. And that's kind of where he's saying with the rouse Leviathan situation. Or he could be referencing someone who would try to rouse the devil. It could be used here to signify Satan. And by that meaning magicians and sorcerers would try to raise Satan to do powers that are reserved for not people. almost like witchcraft or something of that nature. So it could be that he's referencing that. In essence, referencing it, saying, you know, that they would curse days. He's almost wishing they would curse his, like remove his birth date or kill him with their curses or whatever it might be. And then you get down to verse 10, and the ground of Job's argument here with the day and the night of his birth is because it is shut up, or it shut not up the doors of his mother's womb. Verse 10, that night did not shut the doors of my mother's womb and hide sorrow from my eyes. In other words, I was born and I had to come into this world and see this, deal with pain. He's upset. He wants to die. He wanted to not be born because of the pain he is in. This is a broken heart, a complete broken heart, a heart that did not, you know, we all feel like maybe we don't deserve the pain that comes with some of these things. He looks at this, and then in Job 29, he was admired for his wisdom, and it was Job who looks at some, you know, he's admired for wisdom that unto him men gave ear and kept silence at his counsel, and after his words they spoke not again. That's Job 29, verses 21 and 22. He was a man that was well respected, where when he said something, it was taken and they moved on. We all know people like that who are like a voice of authority. They're not questioned. If they say it, you're going to take it as gold and move on about it. A lot of people maybe revere their parents in that way. I know I always questioned my dad a lot of times, but sometimes I didn't. But it was something like that. You know, I mean, if you trust somebody's counsel and they say something, you're going to be like, okay, let's do this. You're not going to question why. You're not going to question motive. You're just going to simply take it and say, absolutely, let's move on. And that's kind of the way it was. But when he took so much pain to express his desire that he had never been born, which at best is in vain. I mean, we know that we can't go back and not be born and start over and it never happened, right? I mean, I can't go back to the day of my birth and die and my life be different. You can't do it. None of us can. And even taking our own life at this point, we can't change what has already been done. But he is, in essence, wishing for something that's impossible. And he was so liberal about the curses on the day and the night that, you know, the way that he said this, you can tell there's nothing that could hurt him any worse. There's not a single thing that he's dealing with that could bring more pain than what he's already dealing with now. It would just be another iron on the fire, but it wouldn't be anything to him. He's lost his children. He's lost everything. And that is why he's sitting here and struggling with this. And when he wished a thing so terrible as his mother, not even bearing him. He wishes. There's a school of thought here that, in essence, based on his words, he's almost saying that he should have been aborted, which is a hard thing for us to really take in here. Because when we think about that mentality, we talk about abortion being wrong. We talk about that children have the right to live. This is a man that almost is wishing for that to happen, that he would have been aborted in the womb and never seen the light of day in this world. Could you imagine the pain that would lead somebody to that thought? The pain that would lead somebody to that struggle, where they literally think, it would have been better if I had been aborted than if I had been born into this world. And now I'm not saying that to, you know, there's that school of thought, but another school of thought with that verse is that maybe she die in childbirth and he's never born, or she die before he's born. I'm more inclined to go that route, but either way, you're wishing something that would have been horrible. I mean, was his relationship with his mom as bad, so bad that he wishes that he had never been born and that she had died before he was born? Or any, I mean, that's a terrible place to be, even there. But then he despised the goodness of God giving him life, making him breathe, so much so that, you know, even though it was a noble life up to the day that Satan took it all away, he still wishes none of it had ever happened. So I say all of that to really get myself to this point of just simply saying it's almost like he undervalued the blessings of God. He says, you know, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I came into the world, and naked I will leave. And here he is cursing the day he was born. This is after the sickness came upon him, not after his children were born. This is after the pain and the struggle of the boils and everything that we're dealing with him. But that's on top of him dealing with the children. And it's one of those when it rains, it pours mentalities. But it's also one of those conversations where the reality is he so naive to think that we won't go through bad times? I don't think so. Because what does he say to his wife before he goes into this mentality? You know, his wife says, curse God and die. And his response is, should we not praise God in the adversity as well? You know, should we only praise God for the blessings and not the adversity? He has his mindset there. His friends sit with him for 7 days in silence. And after 7 days of silence, this is a look into the mind of a man who's dealt with that for 7 days, who's struggled with that for 7 days quietly, and then all of a sudden just lashes out. We've all been there. We've all struggled with that. But how foolish is it for us to think that we wish we'd have never seen the day of pain? Life is full of pain. Now, granted, we're talking about Job and not anyone after Christ was born and then died on the cross. I think had Job been born after Christ died on the cross, there might have been a different mentality about Job if he was the same man after Christ than he was before. Because at that point, he would have realized that he still had his life. He would have recognized that a life was given for him to have life. I don't think that Job necessarily would have reacted the same way. But he wished that his eyes had never seen the light so that they might not have seen sorrow. And yet he might hope to see what was on the other side. He wants the end without the middle, is in essence what he's saying. He wants to die. The short form version of what he says in these verses is that he wants to die. He would rather just go ahead and make it to the end result where he gets to see God and be with God. So there's something about what he's saying here, but I believe that he did hope in his flesh to see God at a latter day. Why? Because Job 19:26. And we're going to close out after these 10 verses because there's not enough time to go into the next section. But Job 19:26 says this to us. It says, "Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. I will see him myself. My eyes will look at him, and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me." This is a reply he gives to one of his friends. I mean, we're going to go through about 20-some chapters of conversation between he and his friends. Him speaking, them speaking, him responding, and them having a conversation about his pain and his suffering and his struggle. But here he is in that verse saying that he will see God, which shows his faith has still not wavered. But for him, this is a man that is hurting, working through pain. And I read that other verse to show you he works to that point. But I do believe that Job's simply working it out in himself. He's simply working through the pain to break through to the other side and recognize that him being born is the only reason he will have an opportunity to see God in the flesh one day. Because had he not struggled with life and been faithful through the trials that Satan has thrown at him, he would have never found the peace on the other end. But by God's grace, he realizes that he will see him again. But at this point, he's broken and he's sorrowful and he's in pain and suffering in the flesh right now. The moral of the story tonight, by God's grace, you know, we can go through this impatient, painful day where we just long for our death, which may be years away. That's what I mean by the impatience of Job in this conversation. Because Job, and as we continue to go through this, we're going to see the same mentality. I've read it already. But he's kind of reflecting on himself for the, you know, it's almost the cry of a man who realizes he can't fix what's been done. And the reason I bring that up and I close with that is this, that what Job is going through in this and the struggle he's facing in this, the reality of what you start to see here is that you're talking about a man who, after his children went out and they partied and they had their fun and their get-togethers with each other, would then, when that round was done, bring them in one by one and offer sacrifices for them. Why? Because in case they sinned, he wanted to fix it. He wanted to make things right for them. He wanted to give them an opportunity to have something with God, and he offered a sacrifice on their behalf. His children are dead. His farm is broken. He has nothing left. This is a man that can't fix what just happened. It's a man who's completely broken and in a place where he cannot do anything about it. That is the struggle Job is going through. Is he's in that realization stage of, I could only do so much and I can't fix this. Now, as we see and we go through it and we continue through the conversation, we're going to recognize the pain, the suffering, the struggle. We're going to see we're going to see the work through. We're going to see how Job handled it. And then we're going to see God's response to Job eventually. Because God sits back and allows Job to talk with his friends and work through the pain. He doesn't intervene in the conversation until Job almost invokes the response, or the friends do. As we go through it, we'll start to see how that plays out. But what we recognize in it is that Job, in this, is wishing that he had never had to go through this life. He's struggling through the pain and the suffering, but he's a broken man who's literally dealing with the fact that he can't fix what's been done. He can't take time back a couple days and get his children back. He can't go back a month or two and change anything about what's about to take place. He's a man that's sitting there in the circumstances he's in, wishing that he'd just never had to deal with the sorrow. So in some ways, maybe it's a little selfish that he didn't want to see the pain. In other ways, it's I've been trying to fix their lives their whole life. I mean, if I go back to chapter 1 and I look at that, what does it say? It says, his sons used to take turns having banquets at their homes. They would send an invitation to their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Whenever a round of banqueting was over, Job would send for his children and purify them, rising early in the morning to offer burnt offerings for all of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. He was worried that his kids had cursed God. And he offered sacrifices to atone for that. Job didn't want to ever curse God. He didn't curse God in the first part after dealing with all the loss. He didn't curse God when his wife told him to. But here he is in a moment of brokenness where he can't offer any more sacrifice to fix anything. You know, he very likely is also dealing with the pain of what if they weren't, what if they had? What if they died with that curse in their heart? What if they died with that circumstance or situation where it was? What if they did, you know, he's dealing with the what ifs of life. But he's also dealing with the, if I'd have never been born, they would have never been born, and then they wouldn't have had to go through it either. I mean, if we broaden the spectrum of what Job may be going through and the pain Job's going through, you're dealing with a man who's broken to the point where he's lost everything and he can't fix what's been broken. And that is a painful place for us to be. The best example I can come up with on it and say is this: have you ever lost somebody as a friend or a loved one that you worried about their salvation? Or just even an acquaintance, but the thought in your mind is, I don't know if they were saved. I mean, I've heard people question that a lot when people pass. I don't know if they were saved. Well, that very well might be where Job's at. But either way, that's kind of how those 10 verses wrap up. And as we continue through it, we're going to see a lot of the same mentality. But it's very poetic, very relatable for us as well, though. Because we've all been through those painful days. We've all been through those struggles where we wanted to just, if we'd have never been born, then they'd have never been born, and they wouldn't have had to go through the pain either. And we blame ourselves for everybody else's pain. Job's a man who I believe could be doing that in this section just as much as he is worried about the pain he's dealing with. Any questions? Statements? Nothing? All right. Well, let's close in prayer and then we'll leave. So, Lord God, we just come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again to come and study your servant Job. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to give us guidance as we go through this book. Lord, help us to recognize the things that you have for us, the things that you want us to see. And Lord, help us to recognize things that can relate so that we can bring ourselves through these circumstances with your grace and mercy, Lord. We know that we can't do it on our own, that there's nothing we can work out here in our own mind, but Lord, you can work through them in us. God, as we leave here tonight, I pray you be with us as we travel. Lord, be with those that weren't here. The struggles they may be facing tonight, I pray that they just find peace in those. Lord, go with us, lead us, direct us as we leave this place this evening. And we pray these things in the holy, precious, and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.